certain important things that we do as Christians. One of them is communion, isn't it? So important. And it's so important, as Kath led us there, that we confess our sins. How wonderful that God has got a, in modern terms, a delete button. Gets rid of everything. Isn't that great? Kids' church, that's what I'm looking for, is it? Lynn's looking at me, and I don't know what to call it. Somebody's got a kids' church. So if your kids, Lynn, who's with you today, Lynn, you and Kath today, go off downstairs, I've got a special time prepared for you. So Father, we just pray as we come to your word that you'll, by your Holy Spirit, speak to us, Lord, and that you will fill us and refresh us, and that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just move, that every heart would be open to hear what you've got to say this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when you think about the Bible, we can just blank that for a second, Ruth. I've got a PowerPoint today. Hey, what about that? Oh my goodness, mate, if it works. Got my little clicker and everything, and Ruth on backup. Printed the PowerPoints off in case it doesn't work. Then my first rodeo, so I know exactly how the tech works in this place. But when you look at the Bible, it is like a real banquet, isn't it? It's a feast. Has anybody ever been to a banquet? I don't know that I have, or not really. I've been to a few weddings and there's been a spread and a buffet. But I'm talking about the finest of finest food, a table that is full so much that you can't eat it all in one sitting. Do you know what I'm talking about? We feed on God's word, don't we? It's a picture that God gave me this morning. It's a feast. And when I think about the Holy Spirit is a whole banquet in itself of who he is and what he does and the power that he gives to us. Did you realize that? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, or more properly, when it was fulfilled, you see, God is the God of the correct timing. Everything happens in the right time, in the right way. When it had fully come, the Holy Spirit was poured out. What happened? A flame on every head. Holy Spirit for every person, for every Christian. We'll look at that a little bit more as we go on this morning. And they spoke in tongues to all the people who were in Jerusalem at that time. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And as they were all there, I don't know about you, what do you think of on the day of Pentecost? It was the day that the gifts of tongues was given. That's what it predominantly is, isn't it? And the gift of tongues is so powerful. But there is way more to the Holy Spirit than any one thing. Would you agree with that? Yeah. We'll have a look at some of those things this morning. And this morning I want us to know this. In fact, I found some notes from a leadership course I did 20 plus years ago. And I'd already written this term down. For us as Christians, the Holy Spirit in our lives, not just in church on a Sunday, I'll always say this, we need the Holy Spirit in church, don't we? But you need the Holy Spirit in the morning when you're at work or school or college or wherever you're going tomorrow, whatever you're doing, you need the Holy Spirit. And I wrote this word down. There are many other words that we could use, I suppose, instead of this. But the Holy Spirit is vital for us. The Holy Spirit is not some little add-on that maybe we should have or we could have. We absolutely need the Holy Spirit. It is vital. And as I read these notes from 20 odd years ago, I'd written the term about the Holy Spirit. It was a list of things that you had to answer. And I put this, the Holy Spirit is vital. Well, that's good to know that I've still remembered something from all them years ago that I've written down. The Holy Spirit is vital. One of the things that God's put on my heart, because as I say, this is a real banquet that we could look at. And maybe we'll look at the Holy Spirit some more. I've done series on the Holy Spirit before. And actually, the Holy Spirit is something that we regularly need to come back to talk about. Because It is not just one thing. It's so, or he is not, I should say. He is not one thing. He is many different aspects to his work and what he's done. But one of the things that God's put on my heart is I have seen the Holy Spirit misused by people over the years. I've seen some, and I'm very cautious in saying this because I think we need to be very careful, because if it is the Holy Spirit, we don't want to say it's not. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, we don't want to say that it is the Holy Spirit, do we? Does that make sense? It sounds like a bit of a tongue twister to me, but I think you know what I'm saying. And I've seen some weird and wonderful stuff that I'm thinking, I really don't think that's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get away from that. That's, you know, I'll just leave that with God if that's, you know. I've seen people give words in tongues and interpret it themselves, which I don't think is necessarily wrong in and of itself. But when they're just basically spouting their thoughts and what they think should be done, that's not right, is it, really? I remember that happening. I felt sick in my stomach. I thought, this is just not right. So I've seen that, and we need to be cautious about how we say that. But I want us to know that our attitude towards the Holy Spirit is that we need him, and that we don't want to have, you know, things that are nonsense and things that are just the flesh, really. I remember somebody saying to me, a woman years ago, we were discussing the Toronto Blessing, remember that? It's probably before I was a Christian as an adult, certainly. And I asked them the question, I said, what do you think about that then? Because there was some excessive stuff. She said, I really believe most of it was the Holy Spirit, some of it was people's flesh, and some of it was demonic. That's what she said. Yeah. Wow. Maybe that's true. So I want to say this. I think we need to have a sensible, serious approach to it. And yet the Holy Spirit does move in some ways that at times are a little bit, wow, this is... I've seen the Holy Spirit move on me, and I'm just thinking, wow, this is just phenomenal, what God is doing. When you think about it, on the day of Pentecost, they were laughing at them because they said, they're drunk. They've had too much to drink. So when you think about it, some stuff's going to happen that's a little bit looking like people are drunk. I remember we did a big conference at the NEC, and the woman who was the speaker, she was like she was drunk. She was so filled with the Holy Spirit. We had to carry her out, quite literally. It was really powerful. And I believe it was genuine. So we're going to see things like that. And I say that for this reason, because maybe you've been on the receiving end of it, and you things have been done that shouldn't have been done. One last example of that, a little bit more simple, is if I lay hands on you, it's nice and gentle. Do you think I could push you over? I don't think I could push Rebecca over, is it? Yeah, Greg, I don't think I could push you over. Well, I probably could if I could. But I've seen people do this, ministers who put their hand on you and they push you like that. If the Holy Spirit's going to touch you, the laying on of hands is right. We believe in that, absolutely. But when I lay hands on someone, I'm not pushing you over, because that's called martial arts, isn't it, or something? Yeah? The Holy Spirit is gentle as a dove. When he landed on Jesus, when he was baptized, he came as a dove. Doves are gentle creatures. Pigeons, on the other hand, you can't show them off for love and money, but doves are so gentle. And yet, this picture of the Holy Spirit is one of being gentle and yet being so incredibly powerful. That's the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. So I want to say to you, you know, when the Holy Spirit moves, we want it to be orderly. Maybe there'll be a little bit of holy chaos, but we'll never push you over. And you know what? If somebody prays for me and they push me, you know what I do? I push them back. The Holy Spirit can push me over. We're talking about when you get slain in the Spirit, that's what we're talking about. Isn't it? And these are really powerful things. So we want the right approach to the Holy Spirit as well. Because the Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The other thing that I think is important to say is this. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. I've already said it. The flame, I've got my little flame down here. This ain't going to work very well, but I'm going to put it on anyway. I'm going to get one of these, I think, for next year. That's just like a jet engine kind of thing. Anyway, every person had a flame on their head. There was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. There was fire that divided onto every head. I don't know this morning whether you think, well, the Holy Spirit's okay. It's all right for the pastor. It's all right for other leaders. It's all right for other people. The Holy Spirit is for every single Christian. Amen. Believer. Amen. Listen to this, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. That's not preached as much these days, is it really? So on our banquet of things, we could talk about repentance. We need to repent from our ways to God's ways. But that's another sermon for another day. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's what we did last week. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Repent, believe, be filled. It's as simple as that, really, isn't it? Do you want me to make it a bit more complicated? No need to, is there? It's simple. Repent, believe, be filled. And I just love that. Corinthians 6:19. I mean, there's just millions of verses that we could share, but do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, who you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? He's paid for us with a price, and he's given us his Holy Spirit. Well, if we can put our PowerPoint up, and we'll just pray that it works. I shared this within the Acts the other week. You can see there are people from all over the place. Hang on, can I get the... There are people from all over the place. You see the spread of people that are from these different places that are in Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. 50 days. Pentecost means 50th or 50. It's 50 days after what? After Easter, after Jesus rose from the dead. And they were all... Do you know what? God is just so orderly. Sometimes you'll work in the midst of chaos, but God is so orderly, isn't he, really? Because they were there, some of them were dwelling there, some had come from different places, and Jerusalem was full of people from all over the Jewish world. God doesn't just do things by chance. I was thinking about something this morning, and the phrase that God gave me was this: timing is everything. The Holy Spirit happened at the right time, on the right day, because suddenly so many people from all around the world heard the wonders of God in their own language. Timing is everything. They'd come to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, or if I pronounce this right, Shavuot. It looks like Shavuot on but Shavuot. That is the way it's pronounced, apparently, Matthew. I hope. I just want to, as we go back and think about the day of Pentecost, when they were full and they spoke in tongues. That is a really important gift. But let's have a look at some of the other things that the Holy Spirit does. And so in one sense, if we use our banquet analogy, we're not going to sort of have a load of everything off each plate, but we're going to have a taste of a few things. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's a whole other sermon, but we see that the Holy Spirit speaks. Has the Holy Spirit ever spoken to you? Yes. He speaks to us, doesn't he? What does he feel like? How do you know the Holy Spirit's spoken to you? It can be an audible voice. Has anybody ever heard the audible voice of God? Barbara has, the lady down there, has heard the audible voice of God. We can hear that, but so often it just feels like an impression, doesn't it? It's a thought. And he's getting to know our thoughts from his thoughts. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we need him to speak to us, don't we? Yeah. Amen? Amen? Some of you say amen. We need him to speak to us, don't we? He directs us. in Acts chapter 13, verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. The Holy Spirit directed them where to go. You know, for us as a church, for me as a pastor, I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit to go where He wants us to go. Because His plans and His purpose are best. And we couldn't do it without Him anyway, could we, if we're honest? Amen? And if we could, would we want to? No. If the choice was between the Holy Spirit directing and leading and guiding us and Him not helping us at all, I'd say, well, I ain't going to go. If God doesn't go, if His Holy Spirit doesn't go, I don't want to go. But He directs us. And then, this is a good one. I'm glad you shared that this morning about remembering. Obviously, there was a context to communion about God doesn't remember our sins anymore. But things that we need to remember, He reminds us of. But look at this. But the teacher, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's what Jesus is saying. When the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, suddenly He will teach you all these things and you will remember what Jesus taught you. Because I think as you get older, is there anybody like me over 21? 31, 41, 51? You just can't remember things like you used to, can you? You can't even remember junior church, can you? You got there in the end. But suddenly, the Holy Spirit just reminds you, doesn't He, of that verse. Or takes you back to something. I was reminded this morning, it's not a scripture particularly, but I remember going back to saying about issues of the Holy Spirit. There was a pastor who said to me, he was about to preach in Argentina, and there was all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff going on. And he was on the stage, a bit awkward when you're on the stage, and he was like, I ain't happy with this, this ain't right. So he got up and left, and he didn't preach, because whatever was going on. The point is, I was reminded of that this morning. That was years ago, 25 years ago. Suddenly God reminded me of something I was told. God reminds us of scripture and He reminds us of the things that He has spoken to us. He teaches us and He brings it to remembrance. Anybody need that gift this morning? Amen. He guides us. We've talked about being directing. However, John 16, 13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. There's a prophetic edge to it. He will guide you about what is to come. There's a prophecy of this is what God says, and this is what God is foretelling is going to happen. But it's the Holy Spirit that does both. He will guide us into all truth. There's so much truth out there these days, you don't want to believe, do you? But the Holy Spirit will guide you into it. He will correct us, He will rebuke it. You know, if we've got it wrong, if I've got it wrong, the Holy Spirit will guide us. Just allow Him to guide you. Ain't these some wonderful things? And we're just having a little taster of these things this morning. He separates from ministry or calls us out for ministry. This is Barnabas and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit spoke to them very clearly, and He separated these two men for what God had called them to do. And when we come back to our series in Acts, we'll look more at this later in the year. The things that they did, their missionary journeys, how they worked together and what they did, and the Holy Spirit is key to all that they did. These are comforting. Who needs some comfort this morning? Come on, folks, who needs some comfort this morning? The Holy Spirit is here to comfort you. He's here to comfort you. Yeah? And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, and He will abide with you forever. He's a helper. He's a comforter. I think we all need some comfort from time to time, don't we? We live in a day and age when there's a mental health crisis for lots of reasons. That's a very serious thing that's going on. But God brings comfort through his Holy Spirit. Did you know that? We need to understand that. He intercedes for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been like that and you're in a situation? I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. What do you do in this situation? I think very often I'm saying, God, this is a situation. This is kind of the answer we need. How do we get from there to there? I've no idea. But you know. But actually, the Holy Spirit does this. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's interceding for us. Sometimes words just ain't enough. Sometimes we don't have the words. We could look in the thesaurus and the dictionary, but we just don't have the words. But the Holy Spirit does. And he gives us utterance and intercedes for us. This is where a little bit more of a taster on this one, because there's quite a lot there, isn't there? But John 16:5-15 says that he's the helper who will come. And of course, this verse is talking about this, that if Jesus doesn't go back to heaven, he wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit. But Jesus went back to heaven and he sent his helper, the Holy Spirit. And then verse 8 there, it says this, he will convict the world of sins. Notice that word. We talked about this last week or the week before. He doesn't condemn us. He convicts us. And I think we should pray this ourselves, honestly, to say, God, will you convict me of sin?
Yes.
Convict me. That's what we need him to do. But he doesn't condemn us, because his grace and his mercy, wow. I don't know about you, I've said this before, I think, but if you were God and some of the things that people do, what would your reaction be, honestly? You'd want to condemn them, and would you want to give them another chance? Messed up again. That thing that they keep, that besetting sin, as the Bible called, they've done it again. Do you know what? I'm just going to slap you and forget about it. Wouldn't we feel like that, folks? I say that to make a point, really, that he is so incredibly gracious to us. His mercy to us. That he forgives us. And as Kath said earlier, he forgets. The slate is wiped clean. We'd want to wipe it with the slate, wouldn't we? But God's not a man. God is God. And he forgives us. And I think sometimes, folks, you and me struggle to receive that forgiveness. Because we think, oh, I don't deserve it. Well, that's the point. No, you don't deserve it. But he's a gracious and merciful God. So don't struggle with it. And when the devil comes and says, oh, but you did this and you did that, just as Kath was saying, that you have to take these thoughts captive, and you have to tell the devil where to go. Mm. Yeah? Because you are forgiven. You need to remind him about the blood of Jesus. He don't like that. Remind him about the blood of Jesus. There we go. He convicts the world of sin, and we need to be convicted. This is a really crucial one in verse 14. If only the little pointer would work, and I could point at it. But it's bolded there, verse 14, down the bottom right hand corner. Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, Jesus. Okay. Amen? Mm. Oh dear. Is that me or you, Ruth? That's all right. What I said at the start about things being a little bit excessive one way, they're a bit weird and wonderful. Does it glorify God? Does it glorify Jesus? Because really, if it does, it's the Holy Spirit. If it doesn't, then it's not. I think we can say that. But the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Luke 2:26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Going back to the birth of Jesus. He reveals things to us. Do you need something revealing to you, folks? Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He appoints in Acts 20, verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The Holy Spirit made us overseers. You know, as a pastor, as an overseer, as a shepherd, I have done nothing other than follow what God has done. That's all I've done. That's all we should do. Because he appoints. And you must be crazy to be a pastor anyway. You know that, don't you? I've said this for years. There's only two kinds of people who become pastors. You're either crazy or you're called. And there's no gap in the Bible. Amen. It's all right, I'm called and I love you. Just in case there's any doubt. Yeah, I'm a bit crazy as well, but anyway, that's how I love it. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, wow. This is a whole other banquet, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit. We need the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of ourself is, well, at Alpha we were talking about the state of the world, really. The Bible talks about the fact that we're corrupt. Human nature is corrupt. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen? I've got about another 300 of these. Fortunately, this is the last one I'm including today. 2 Corinthians 1:21 to 23. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has appointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. See, a lot of people will say to you, as Christians, it's just a matter of blind faith. And to a point, that's true, but that's not the whole truth. The truth is, I've got the Holy Spirit living in me, and when I speak in tongues, or God gives me a prophetic word, or a word of knowledge, or the gift of discernment in operation, that's the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. It's hard to explain, isn't it? But I know that the Holy Spirit is in within me. I know that God is real because he's sealed me with his Holy Spirit. He has guaranteed now what is to come in the future. Because we've got a hope. In a world that is hopeless, we have a hopeful future in him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the reason I've perhaps labored the book but shown you all of these things, and there's much more as well, is when the Holy Spirit fills us, we have access to power. We have access to all of these dynamics in him, not just speaking in tongues. There's so much that we have got available to us. Do you think we want the Holy Spirit? Can we do without him?
No.
Absolutely not. We need him. He is vital. So when we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us, when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and to work with us, we have got this and so much more. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. Fill us daily. Amen. You know, we hadn't planned folks coming forward, but, you know, in my mind, I think, well, you know, we'll have an altar call and we'll pray for people. And I did say to Mandy, I said, I'm not going to lay hands on people. Then I did because I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, let's just look at this for a second. When you look in Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place. They were waiting. They were eager for the Holy Spirit to come. You realize that, don't you? They wanted the Holy Spirit. And I remember back in Nigeria when I was with Christ for All Nations, we were in Lagos. They were preaching for 3 days. On the last day, they were preaching to Christians in the daytime. And that on the last day, they always pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. I've told this story before, but it's incredible. You've got 20,000 people in a stadium, all eager to receive from the Holy Spirit. You've got the people on the stage who are praying for them to receive it. And God poured out his Spirit in an incredible way. The only way I can describe it is the atmosphere was like tingling with electric. It was tangible. It was physical. It was, wow, this is awesome. And I was there. I was going to take some photographs. And it's the only time I've been on the back straight of a stadium on the running track. Because if you see me running, that's because somebody's running after me. The power of the Holy Spirit came. And I got this really expensive camera, which wasn't mine, by the way. I had to put it down on the floor. I had to get down on my knees because the Holy Spirit power had come. And the truth is, just like on the day of Pentecost, nobody touched anybody. The Holy Spirit just filled everyone. Amen? And there are big times when we've done fire conferences in this country with Reinhard Bonnke that he's laying hands on. I mean, we did 6,000 people. He laid hands on 6,000 people. It's quite a sight to behold. But the reality of it is when you've got so many people, when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, that's just not possible. The Holy Spirit just falls on people. Amen? So on the one hand, I wasn't going to pray because it was quite, I said to Mandy, it'll fit in with the sermon because I don't need to pray for them because people can just be filled anyway. But anyway, I felt prompted by God to lay hands on them. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 17, it says this, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. We can't confine the Holy Spirit to just doing things in one way, can we? Sometimes it's the laying on of hands, sometimes it just happens. In fact, this happened in Acts chapter 10 to the Gentiles. And I think God did it in this way, just to show Peter that actually the Holy Spirit is not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for us as well. And then another one for laying on of hands. 2 Timothy 1, 6-7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then I've included verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's the spirit that he's given us. I'm going to leave it there, folks, because there's still loads more to eat from the banquet of the Bible and of the Holy Spirit, as it were. We've not even come to the gift of the Holy Spirit, have we? In 1 Corinthians. We've not even come to that this morning. But I want us to know a few vital things today. That the Holy Spirit is for every Christian. That the Holy Spirit can be received by the laying on of hands. That the Holy Spirit can just fill you wherever you are and whatever you're doing. The Holy Spirit enables, equips, and empowers us in so many vital ways. I know you need the Holy Spirit, but I know I definitely do. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit to live our lives as Christians, for ministry, for works of service for which we're all called. Because with God's help, through his Holy Spirit, you can do whatever he calls you to do. Did you know that?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Sorry, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. I'll share it with somebody later who it's for. Wouldn't be appropriate to share it from the front. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? And I think I'm going to end in a different way. I'm just going to pray right where you are. If you want the Holy Spirit to fill you, refill you, refresh you, renew you, to just touch you, I just want you to just put your hands in the air. Most eyes are closed, but you know what, whether they are or not, it doesn't make any difference, does it? So I've got my hand up. I came down the front earlier, I stood there, because you know what, whenever the Holy Spirit is on offer to refill us and refresh us, I would say to us, take every opportunity to be refilled and refreshed. So Father, as you see so many hands around this place, including my Lord, I'm including myself for sure, Lord, that you will just pour out your Spirit on each person right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, just gentle as a dove, and yet at the same time, as powerful as the earthquake, as powerful as the wind, the unstoppable force. Lord, will you just pour out your Spirit on each person, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, this morning, as we go from this place, we don't just switch off and say that was a nice service and God was there. But we want to go, empowered by your Holy Spirit, out into the rest of the day, into the week, into our workplace, into our school, into our college, wherever we might be, full of your Holy Spirit, making use of every gift and all of the things that we've looked at and so much more. Let us carry those things in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. folks. Bless you. Thank you once again for just being part of what's going, what God is doing. And the fact that our running order was nothing like what it said on the piece of paper. But that's okay, isn't it? Because we want the Holy Spirit to come and have his way. Folks, bless you. We've got tea, we've got coffee. Don't rush off. Do have some time with us. And the Lord bless you.